Most questions are based in literal interpretation of only some selected biblical quotations addressing the subject and or based on the claim of the uniqueness of Jesus the Christ, as in only Jesus was the only way, the only begotten Son, the only one to rise bodily from the grave, etc. Such questions are intended to prove a division between the Baha'i faith and Christianity, prove Baha'is are not biblical in their beliefs, and prove superiority of Jesus the Christ over Baha'u'llah. However, Baha'is seek unity and points of agreement by not accepting the literal mindset of the question, by establishing that Baha'is believe in Jesus the Christ and the Bible, and by pointing out one or more of the following concepts.
So, dear friends, there are some questions in the way they are framed that you can't answer them well. And the usual one is, have you stopped beating your wife yet? I mean, that's the common example. If you say, yes, I've stopped beating my wife, well, that implies you were beating your wife. Okay? Say, no, I've not stopped beating my wife. Well, you're still beating your wife. So if the question is framed in such a way that you're only allowed to agree or disagree with the literal interpretation of the Bible, you're stuck. And the Christians have been fussing for 2,000 years along these lines. They've missed the point. The Word of God is not a science book. It's not a history book. It is the Word of God to spiritually heal you. If we take the spiritual interpretation, all will make sense. All will lead naturally to Baha'u'llah. There is no conflict. But if you try to answer the question from the literal mindset in the way the question is being put to you, you will struggle. And you will have a hard time, which is what we usually do at firesides. The question is, the answer is this a twofold question? The answer will always come to you if you ask yourself, is this a twofold station question? Is this a twofold language question? Yes, I believe Jesus the Christ is the only way. And Baha'u'llah is the return of the only way. I wouldn't answer that question, no, Jesus is not the only way. Baha'u'llah is also the only way. There's a world of difference. And it shows the thinking and the understanding of the Baha'i for who Jesus the Christ was. Do you understand or how vital that question is, that point is? And now we're going to look at how you can kind of organize, this is kind of a summary sheet, on how you can kind of organize your thinking. There's about four or five different, and I'm going to tell you that in most cases there's five different categories of thinking on how to answer, but all of them stem from these two principles, the twofold station and the twofold language. This is the Kitab-i Aghan. Okay, David, let's start with answer number one. I'm going to call this category answer number one because I'm going to refer back to it, but it's category answer number one. This is a general way of answering these kinds of questions.
Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ, and therefore all the claims of uniqueness for the station of Christ also apply to Baha'u'llah. As in, Baha'u'llah as the return of Christ is also the only way, the return of the only begotten Son, and the return of the only mediator between God and man, etc.
Okay, that answer always works. Any question about the station of Baha'u'llah, the station of Jesus the Christ, that answer always works. Okay, number two.
There are other Bible passages on the subject that clearly demonstrate a literal interpretation cannot always be correct, and only a spiritual interpretation can make sense in all cases when applied to all the Bible verses referring to the question. As in, have you been baptized in a church? As the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, in Mark 16. However, the Bible also says Christ will baptize all believers with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's in Luke 3, which means true baptism is other than with water rituals.
Okay, so this is this other category. When you're presented a literal interpretation and you find yourself sort of backpedaling and at not knowing what to say, the question is this a twofold language question? Have you been baptized in a church, you Baha'is? Because it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And by the way, Mormons believe you've got to be totally immersed in water to be saved. My dear fellow believer in Christ, where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say that in the Bible? It isn't in there. It isn't in there. Let's turn to page 52. The literal reading is not in there. If you read all of the Bible passages on the subject. So if you get your strong, handy-dandy Strong's and Concordance out, and you look up baptism, and I've selected some of these references for you to look at, you'll find the following. So let's just look at this one from this standpoint. Let's look at all of the verses in the Bible that discuss baptism. What we're going to find is that there are some verses you could interpret spiritually, but other verses you must interpret spiritually, symbolically. What interpretation holds in all cases? Spiritual or symbolic. Okay, let's go through this. As before, we're going to start with the basis of the Christian belief, the passage that supports the Christian belief.
In Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The rest of the verse makes it clear the penalty is for not believing, but no penalty is given for not having physical baptism with water. This is an excellent example of why an entire verse in context must be read to have a full understanding of the meaning, which can be distorted easily in partial quotations. By believing in Jesus, Baha'is are saved without a water baptism. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, according to Acts 16.
Okay, let's go to number two.
Then John answered, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is Luke 3. After John the Baptist, all baptism should be with fire and the Holy Ghost, so it can't be a literal baptism.
Now, again, we talked about this earlier today. All this fuss on whether you're baptized by immersion in water or, you know, how much, yeah, are you sprinkled? Should you do it when you're 6 years old, when you're 9 years old, or when at your deathbed? So, you know, Constantine, I'm going to get off on a tangent. But anyway, he waited to be baptized after he'd killed his mother and his son and done all these things. He was the one who established Christianity as the church state religion of Rome at a time when less than 5% of Rome was Christian. The belief at that time was, after you were baptized, you shouldn't be committing any sins. So he waited till his deathbed to be baptized. I mean, so it's missing the whole point of the religion, is it not? Okay, what does the Bible itself say? What does the Bible itself say? John says, it says that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Christ, if you're going to be baptized in Christ, you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what the Word of God says. So how do you understand this, my fellow believer in Christ? Okay, go ahead, David.
In Acts chapter 8, we find Peter and John who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, baptism does not automatically bestow the Holy Spirit or true faith, but is a physical gesture or symbol.
So you see there's a distinction, there's a clear distinction made here in the New Testament between the physical act of being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit. These are independent events. Go ahead, David.
Acts chapter 10, verse 47, then Peter declared, can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Again, baptizing with water is an independent event of receiving the Holy Spirit and faith, and in this case, occurred after receiving faith. Therefore, literal baptism is not necessary to achieve faith.
Go ahead, David.
In Acts chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here Peter quotes Christ and gives a case where baptism occurs only with the Holy Spirit, and water baptism is no longer necessary for having faith.
Okay, go ahead, David.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. If the dead will not come back to life again, then what point is there in people being baptized for those who are gone? Why do it unless you believe that the dead will someday rise again? Clearly, baptizing by proxy for dead people demonstrates the symbolic nature of baptism.
Go ahead.
1 Corinthians again, chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The Spirit does real baptism, and baptized is clearly used symbolically.
Go ahead.
Colossians 2, verse 11. When you came to Christ, He set you free from your evil desires, not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but a spiritual operation, the baptism of your souls. Baptism, therefore, is a spiritual operation.
So you see, all through the New Testament, if you look at the rest of the New Testament, it's entirely quite clear and evident that baptism is to be understood how? Spiritually, symbolically. Why? Because it is a spiritual operation. Okay. Okay, David, summary point, Abdu'l-Bahá, again.
Abdu'l-Bahá, Some Answered Questions, page 105. Man cannot free himself from the rage of the carnal passions except by the help of the Holy Spirit. That is why he says baptism with the Spirit, with water, and with fire is necessary. That is to say, the Spirit of divine bounty, the water of knowledge and life, and the fire of the love of God. Man must be baptized with this Spirit, this water, and this fire, so as to become filled with the eternal bounty. Otherwise, what is the use of baptizing with material water? No, this baptism with water was a symbol of repentance and of seeking forgiveness of sins. But in the cycle of Baha'u'llah, there is no longer need of this symbol, for its reality, which is to be baptized with the Spirit and love of God, is understood and established.
Okay, dear friends, you see how biblical Abdu'l-Bahá is. All right, now, back to page 31. We've looked at category answer number one, category answer number two. Now, here's category answer number three. Again, these are just organizing concepts for your thinking, which you will improve upon.
The method of literal interpretation used by Christians to reject Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i interpretation was also used by the Jews to reject Christian interpretation of the Old Testament and Jesus. Therefore, Jesus cannot be the Messiah by the very same reasoning Christians use to reject Baha'u'llah. But by whatever biblical proofs Christians accept Jesus, these same methods of proof apply equally well to Baha'u'llah. Paul states the Bible must be spiritually discerned, as it is expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words, in 1 Corinthians. And both Christ in Matthew 7 and the apostles in Luke 3 and in Acts 2 interpret the Bible in the Old Testament spiritually to explain the fulfillment of prophecy. Therefore, Christ and the apostles give the authority and the examples for interpreting the Bible spiritually.
There's a typo. It should be Matthew 17, verse 13, instead of Matthew 7. I'm so sorry. Okay. Go ahead, David.
Paul interprets even passages that appear as literal, factual accounts, as indeed symbolic in meaning. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And this is 2 Corinthians. Exodus 34:30 recounts that after Moses spoke with God, his face shone so brightly he had to veil his face so the Israelites would not fear him. Yet Paul recounts this veil as also spiritually symbolic and blinding the Jews to truly understanding the Old Testament and recognizing Jesus.
Now, the reason I put that in there and the reason for your attention to it is that even these things that seem like they're a straightforward recounting of what happened, this happened and then this happened and this happened, that has a spiritual, potential spiritual interpretation. And what's being said? When Moses received the Ten Commandments, his boy face shone so brightly, the Jews could not bear to look upon his face. His face shone so brightly. So he put a veil over his face. Okay. Many hundred years later, Paul interprets that verse to mean that the Jews could not interpret the Old Testament correctly. It's a literal statement of what occurred, and yet it has a spiritual interpretation. So if someone were to come to you, a fellow believer in Christ, and say, I know what this verse means, you would say, can you show me where in the Bible it says that you have the authority to interpret the Bible with certainty when it is only the return of Jesus the Christ by the words of the Bible itself that will have the correct interpretation? Okay. Now, let's go. Category answer number 4.
Even if a literal interpretation is not supported by the Baha'i writings, as in the physical resurrection of Jesus or the physical existence of Satan, the spiritual principle being illustrated or referred to by the Bible is indeed supported and confirmed in the Baha'i writings, as in satanic power is confirmed through, though a physical Satan is not, and the power of Jesus over death and his divine nature is confirmed, though not his physical resurrection. It is indeed the underlying spiritual principle and teaching all can agree upon, and is the more important reality to begin with that must ultimately guide our faith and our actions. As in, do the believers wish to avoid contact with a physical Satan, or more importantly, the influence of satanic power? Do the believers need faith that the physical body of Jesus resides above the clouds in the sky, or more importantly, that Jesus is divine and has the power to conquer death and bestow life everlasting?
This last Wednesday, in my home, we had the second minister, the next to the senior minister of the largest church in town. It's the First Baptist Church in Grants Pass, Oregon. And we went from 6 o'clock till about 10:30. His wife is investigating the faith, which is wonderful. And he's got an employment there with the church, of course. He came to the position by 10:30 of saying, well, if it wasn't for the resurrection, I could become a Baha'i. So we said to him at that point, well, it's okay if you want to believe in the physical resurrection, if that helps you to come to know that Jesus the Christ has the power to raise you on the last day and shows that he has power over death. I don't need that as a Baha'i, but if it helps you, wonderful. We had no argument. The session ended. They're going to be back in 2 weeks. Okay? So the point of it is, we accept the spiritual principle whether or not the verse is interpreted literally. Right? And what's the more important thing? I recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, having the authority and power over death and the power to raise me on the last days. I accept that. I don't need the literal resurrection to know that's true. I have Jesus in my heart. I have Baha'u'llah in my heart. So that's another way of answering that question. We'll take up the resurrection tomorrow and we'll deal with the Bible verses. And what we're going to see is that there's as many verses in the Bible that support a perhaps literal reading as there are verses that support only a spiritual resurrection. We'll do that tomorrow. But this is another way of answering that question. Both answers are correct, of course. Okay, finally, number 5.
Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are sealed as to their interpretation until Jesus returns, according to the Bible itself. There are over, update today, 26,000 sects of Christianity, all of whom disagree over the interpretation of the Bible, and none of whom, on biblical authority, can confirm that they have the correct interpretation of the Bible. Therefore, Baha'i symbolic interpretations are at least as equally valid as any sect of Christianity, and absolutely correct if the claims of Baha'u'llah can be proven.
Okay, so these are some organizing principles for your thinking. And now let's begin to apply some of these. On page 36, if you could turn to the concerns of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the Satan, the devil. This is the unholy trinity, if you like. And these are the concerns of Christians very early on, because you Baha'is don't seem to be talking out of the Bible very much. You're talking about a one world government. Oh my goodness. This sounds like the Antichrist. You'd think half the Bible was about the Antichrist, as much airtime as that gets. It kind of whips the troops into a frenzy, watching for the Antichrist. There's a very thick book labeling, documenting all the individuals that have been termed the Antichrist for the last few thousand years, okay? But it's a concern, and I just swear, everybody went to the same Sunday school where they talked about the dangers of following the Antichrist, the false prophets, and the devil. Now, how are you going to handle that? One is to say, Baha'u'llah's teachings make so much sense, they're right for this day, therefore, he can't be a false prophet. That's one way to answer that question. But for the most part, that does not carry very much impact with someone who is Christian, who is oriented to what their minister and the airwaves are talking about with regard to the Antichrist and false prophets. So, if we turn to the Bible, our friend, the Word of God, we're going to see on biblical criteria, scriptural Christianity, Baha'u'llah can't be the false prophet or the Antichrist and so forth. Okay, did we have a comment here? Do you want to take the mic?
Also, we are told as Baha'is to beware of the evil one and to stay away. Also, in the Baha'i Rite.
Yes, we're coming up to that.
And it talks, and Baha'u'llah also talks about the Satan of this world.
Absolutely. Yes, and that's on the next few pages here, that we're coming right up to that. But David, let's go ahead and under Antichrist, what you can do, of course, is you can go look up in Strong's handy-dandy exhaustive concordance, Antichrist, and you can see where that appears. And it turns out there's really only four references to the Antichrist in the whole of the entire Bible. And they're all in 1 John, very close to the end of the New Testament. That's it. That's it. But there's so much vain imaginings and idle fancies attributed to the Antichrist that you cannot find in the Bible. It isn't in there. It just isn't in there. But let's look on biblical criteria who the Antichrist is. Okay, David?
Traits of the Antichrist. First of all, they deny that Jesus is the Christ.
Now, does Baha'u'llah deny that Jesus is the Christ?
No.
Chalk one up for Baha'u'llah. Okay? Number two.
The Antichrist denies that the Father and the Son.
Does Baha'u'llah deny the Father and the Son?
No.
Number three.
The Antichrist denies that Jesus came in the flesh.
Now, at the time this is being written, there's a very large group of Christians called the Gnostics. And they were saying that Christ was too holy to have had a physical body. And that was where they were coming from. And that's probably what 1 John has in mind. But anyway, whatever. Does Baha'u'llah deny that Jesus came in the flesh?
No.
Go ahead, David.
The Antichrist is equated with deceivers and linked with false prophets.
Go ahead, David. Number five.
Is also already in the world during the writing of the epistles of John, which is about 100 A.D.
Already in the world at the writing of 1 John.
And would be a former Christian.
Did Baha'u'llah arise amongst the Christians?
No.
So on biblical criteria, can Baha'u'llah be the Antichrist?
No.
powerfully know. So, my fellow believer in Christ, can you show me in the Bible where Baha'u'llah could be the Antichrist? Let us turn to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say are the criteria for how we know the Antichrist. In no way can Baha'u'llah be the Antichrist.